and possibly unsafe. I spun around to see a guy leaning against the fence farther in the shadows. He was alone. From what I could make out, he had longish hair, and it was such a light color it reflected the moonlight. I didn't know him, and I'd seen enough CSI to know this wasn't the best idea, to stand out here alone with this stranger. I began moving away. He laughed. It was a rich, amused laugh.
God, could this place be any more cliche?
I paused.
Football on Friday nights, fucking cowboy boots on with a blue jean skirt, Letterman jackets on girls' shoulders, and it's still 80 goddamn degrees out here. Oh, and the cowbells. Can't forget the cowbells. Those are priceless.
He ended his rant and pulled out a lighter. When the small flame lit, he held a cigarette to his lips.
Don't call for the cops, Daisy May. It's just regular old nicotine.
I should have gone, forgotten this completely, but he shifted and the light that was peeping over the stands from the lights on the field illuminated, and I saw him clearer. He didn't seem dangerous. He was tall, slender. Something caught the light on both his ears, and I saw that his white blonde hair was much longer than I had thought. It was tucked behind his ears. Clothes he was wearing stood out the most. He wasn't dressed like a guy from Lawton. He reminded me of someone from 90210. And he was calling us cliche?
Which one of those meatheads do you belong to? Gotta be one of them. You can't take your eyes off that field. I'd have noticed you anyway because you're a stunner, but you know that already. I've seen a lot of beautiful women. Not like you're unique, but I do notice when people behave out of the norm. You've got on your Daisy May costume, but you aren't acting like the others. You don't care that you are alone, nor do you check to see if people are watching you. Hell, I watched you for over an hour and you never looked my way. Fascinating as fuck.
I didn't like this guy. Walking off was the best idea. But he was right. I was alone, and I would have to go right back up there while they all talked excitedly about the 2-touchdown lead we had and stuffed their faces with nachos. Who are you? I asked instead. He chuckled, took a couple more steps into the light. I could see him clearly now. His bright green eyes were unnatural and had to be contacts. If not, he was an alien or possibly a vampire, and I'd just stepped into one of my paranormal books I loved so much. My bet was it was simply contacts.
Do you still need an answer, or do you know?
He asked. How the heck would I know who he was just because he was standing in the light? We've never met. I'd remember your fake eye color and diamond-studded earrings, I replied in a more annoyed tone than I meant to. He ran a hand over his face and muffled more amusement.
This place really is antiquated. Tell me, do you all have smartphones, or is it still flip phones? Or better yet, landlines?
I had never had a more confusing conversation in my life. He was jumping from one subject to the next. Halftime was about to end, and I needed to get to my seat. This was a waste of time. I turned and started to walk away.
The one with the limp. That one's yours, he called out.
I wasn't convinced this guy was safe. He was a bit creepy with his knowledge, stalker-like.
He's the only one on that field who wishes he was somewhere else.
I agreed. But then I had been studying Nash all night, paying attention to his body language, worrying about him. I glared back at the guy one more time. Who are you? I demanded. He tilted his head and ran his hand through his long hair like some model in a commercial. It was odd and annoying all at once. He really liked himself. He was the male version of Blakely. Except I would guess he was smarter. This conversation had been the weirdest one in my life to date, but he hadn't spoken like an empty-headed ditz. I was beginning to worry he was a serial killer with his deep observations and interest in people he didn't know.
You ever watched YouTube? Or do the folks down here know what the internet is?
The way he asked the last part was with a very bad imitation drawl, like he was making fun of the way we talked. You've got to be the rudest person I have ever spoken to, I replied. Of course we have smartphones, We use personal laptops in the classroom, our textbooks are all online, and although I don't watch YouTube, I do know what it is. My mother watches cooking tutorials on it all the time. After I said all that, I wished I could take it back. I should have walked away. This guy was not stable. He was sketchy, and I needed to shut up and go on. The scoreboard buzzed, ending halftime. "I have to go," I said, before moving away from him, and quickly. He didn't call out anything else. I made it to the stairs and headed up to my seat, not once glancing back to see if he was following me. When I reached my seat and sat down, I was suddenly thankful to be surrounded by all the people. It was comforting. I found Nash, and he turned to look up at me just as I spotted him. He smiled. I let out a sigh of relief that I was here and back where I was supposed to be. He gave me a small salute and went back to talking to Riker, who was in full pads, standing beside him. For the first time all night, I took in my surroundings. I saw the groups of people and noticed the cowbells being shaken loudly from the stands. Blue shakers covered the place, and cheers for the Lions rang in the air. I started to return my gaze to Nash when my eyes locked on the guy. He was at the bottom, in the farthest left corner. He wasn't sitting, and no one seemed to notice him. His focus was on me. When he saw me looking back, he smirked and nodded his head toward the field in Nash's direction, then ducked out. He was gone, and I was more than glad to see him go.
Chapter 22. Nice to see how the other half lived. Nash. The smell of the bonfire was a Friday night norm. What I knew. Coming here had been the last thing I wanted to do, but I needed a beer. I also didn't want to chance Tallulah trying to talk to me about tonight. About the game. How it felt, that kind of thing. I was moody. I wanted to be alone. Asking Tallulah out for after the game had been me hoping that would get my mind off things. The mood the game would put me in hadn't been something I had considered. Here we were now. Riker talking about the one play of the game he scored. It had been impressive, and he wanted to recap it over and over. That had been me last year and the year before. It annoyed me now, but I drank my beer and kept my mouth shut. Tallulah didn't seem relaxed or like she was enjoying this. I didn't blame her. I wasn't much fun. If I wanted another date with her, I needed to try harder. Stop being a damn baby about the game. They'd won by 3 touchdowns. It had been a fairly easy win. If I wasn't so fucking self-absorbed with my pity party, I'd be happy for them. I was trying to be, but it wasn't coming through. I slipped an arm around Tallulah's waist and tugged her closer to me. "Sorry, this is boring," I whispered. She turned her head and tilted it back slightly to look up at me. Up close, she was flawless. I hadn't thought about that earlier. I'd been too busy with that kiss. Now I could appreciate it. "I'm not bored, just taking it all in. This is what y'all have been up to for the past 3 years on Friday nights while I sat in my room with a book. Nice to see how the other half lived." The smile curving her lips was teasing. "I'm sure with all this excitement you regret missing every moment of it," I replied. She sighed dramatically. "Well, of course I do. One cannot get enough of Riker replaying his best moment on the field 50 different ways, or Blakely doing everything but stripping to keep Hunter's attention on her alone. The best are the cheerleaders who still think they need to do routines after they've drunk a few too many." I laughed loudly. She was right. Completely. Her description could not have been more accurate. "I can assume you will be on board with attending all these with me this year, then?" There was no way I was coming to these every Friday night. It didn't hold the same appeal as it once had. I no longer fit. But I was sure she knew that. She pressed a finger to her chin as if in deep thought, then gave me a serious expression meant to be mocking. Only if Asa and Riker will talk incessantly about themselves and the cheerleaders will be a little more annoying, then possibly I will return. I squeezed her waist. I'd say I will see what I can do, but I am pretty sure those are all a given. I nodded my head toward the trees where all the cars were parked behind. Let's go. She smiled.
Good.
I turned back to the group that hadn't even realized we'd been in our own private conversation.
We're out. Y'all party on, I called.
They didn't ask me why I was going, but I could see surprise in their eyes. I normally shut these parties down. I waved as they called out goodbyes, but I didn't stay around long enough for them to ask me to stay, or where we were headed. Tallulah responded to those who told her they were glad she had come. Although these people had ignored her in the past, she was polite. Didn't seem to hold bitterness toward them.
I swear he was there,
a girl with a loud, high-pitched voice said from the group we were passing.
You're insane. There is no way that Hagen Baylor was in Lawton, Alabama at a football game. You need to stop watching him so much. You're starting to hallucinate, Blakely said.
I know Hagen Baylor. I would know the back of his head if that is all I saw. I've seen every YouTube video he has ever done. He posts a new vlog 3 times a week, and he said he was moving in his last vlog. He was here.
The other girl I now recognized as Pamela was loudly defending her belief.
Sorry, Pam, I don't believe that. No one else saw him, Blakely replied.
We kept walking, but I noticed Tallulah's attention was drawn to their conversation.
You know who this Hagen Baylor is? I asked her.
She didn't seem like one who would watch vloggers.
I'd never watched one, but Blakely watched a couple weekly like it was part of her life. Then she talked about them constantly, as if I cared.
Tallulah looked away from them, then shook her head.
No, I'm not sure what a vlog is.
That was shocking, but then this was Tallulah. She was different, which I loved.
There are these people who do these videos, kind of like a reality television show, and then post them on YouTube. Some are better at it than others. Many have gotten famous from it. They call themselves vloggers, but from what I've seen, it's mostly teens videoing boring shit they do and doing stupid stuff to get more viewers.
Tallulah frowned.
They get famous? Seriously?
Yep. Blakely was stressing out over getting some backpack for school back in June that one of those vloggers she likes was selling in his merch store.
His what?
She asked incredulously.
They sell merchandise in online stores. The popular ones do.
I thought it was crazy too, but Blakely was worried it would sell out and was on her computer at the time it was released to be sure to get it. I'd forgotten about that until now. We reached my truck, and Tallulah paused at the door.
I think...
Then she shook her head.
Never mind.
I opened her door, and she climbed inside. I wanted to know what she was going to say, but I didn't push her. I still needed to come up with somewhere for us to go. I didn't want to take her home just yet. When I was inside, I saw her yawn and cover it up with her hand. I wasn't ready to give her up, but I knew she was tired.
You're sleepy, I said to her.
If she argued, I was going to keep her longer.
Yeah, a little,
she agreed. Damn.
Okay then, we can call it a night.
I paused.
What are you doing tomorrow?
That may have sounded a little too needy, but it came out before I could think it through. She ducked her head. And I could see the smile on her face. She liked that I had asked. I felt better about it.
I help Mom clean the house on Saturday mornings. We're normally finished around 1 in the afternoon. Then, nothing, really.
Fuck being cool. I wasn't cool anymore anyway.
There's a trail I like to hike. Goes to a cold spring that's pretty this time of year. I think you'd like it.
I hadn't dated a girl I thought would enjoy this. I always hiked it alone.
Sounds nice. I'm sure I would.
Would you be ready by 3? I asked. She nodded.
Yeah, 3 is good.
And just like that, my first Friday night not spent in pads and playing the sport I loved turned into something better.
Chapter 23. Something about a unicorn wall. Tallulah. The tenderness when I first opened my eyes and swallowed made me pause. That was not good. Today, I could not get sick. I threw my covers off and went downstairs, trying to ignore the slow-building headache. My stomach turned as I opened the fridge, and I had to stop and lean against the counter a moment. I was suddenly weak. Closing my eyes, I inhaled deeply, tried to will all these symptoms away. Then opened my eyes and stood straighter with a fight that died the moment the kitchen began to spin. I had to grab the counter again. I definitely felt off. Good morning. Are you going to start in the kitchen today? Honey? Mom was instantly beside me, although I couldn't see her because I was having to keep my eyes closed from the spinning. My stomach wasn't handling it well, and my head was now hurting so bad I winced with each pound. You're burning up. Come to the sofa. Mom's arm was around me, and I let her lead me to the living room, which was closer than my bedroom. I sank down onto the sofa and curled my knees up under my chin. I heard a whimper. I thought it was me. The pain in my head was battling with the now raw throat I had, not to mention every time I tried to open my eyes, the spinning was there. I had to be still, pray that it ended soon. Sit up. Mom was beside me, pulling me into her arms. You have to take this to get your fever down. You also need to drink some liquids. When did this start? Too many words. I managed to open my mouth and swallow the pill, although it was painful. The cold water felt good to my throat, but it still hurt when I swallowed. Have you been like this all night? I shook my head and lay back down. A cold cloth was placed on my forehead, and my body began to tremble from the chills. My mom had a blanket over me before the first shiver ended. Can you tell me what hurts? She asked. I loved her, but I needed her to stop asking me things. Talking was too much. All of it, I whispered and shivered again. Okay, I'll wait, but if this doesn't bring your fever down and help enough in a few hours, we are going to the doctor. I wasn't sure how we would do that when I couldn't get off the sofa. The world slowly faded along with my mother's talking. The next time I heard anything, it was the vacuum cleaner coming from the hallway. I opened my eyes and waited for the pounding headache. It was duller now. My throat still hurt terribly. I reached for the cup of water beside me and the ice had melted. I took a drink, hoping it would help. It didn't. I started to move, and my entire body felt too weak. I sank back down and closed my eyes. The pounding was returning, and my body was aching now. Closing my eyes, I gave into the darkness and faded out again. My mother's voice telling someone I had woken up very ill and hadn't been able to do more than sleep all day was what I heard when I woke again. I almost closed my eyes and ignored it when I remembered Nash. We had a date today. I had forgotten. I tried to move and sit up when I heard Mom say something else. Then the door closed. I couldn't get all the way up. I gave up and sighed in frustration. Mom walked into the room and I stared up at her. I wanted to ask, but it hurt to talk. That was Nash. He was here to pick you up. I told him you were sick. He said to tell you he hoped you felt better soon. How do you feel? She asked as she knelt in front of me and put her hand on my forehead. Your fever was down, but you're hot again. I'm getting you another aspirin, then we're going to the after-hours clinic. This could be the flu. I can't get up, I moaned, closing my eyes. The idea of going to the bathroom was difficult, much less walking out to the car and going to the doctor. We could end up in the emergency room tonight if I don't take you now. She wasn't kidding. If I didn't get better, she'd haul me to the ER in the middle of the night. The idea of sitting around all night feeling like this in a waiting room gave me the strength to sit up. Can you bring me a bra? I'm wearing this, I said in a hoarse whisper. Anything more was too painful. Sure, stay right there. Try and drink more. I got you some fresh water. I nodded and took a sip as she hurried out of the room. The Gryffindor tank top and cut-off sweatpants I had slept in would have to do for this outing. I didn't normally go places with shorts this short, but right now I just didn't care. Mom came back with my bra and helped me get it on. "Do you want me to brush your hair?" she asked. "I don't care," I replied. I wanted to lie here in my misery. She ran her hand over it. "It's fine. Let's go." I let her help me up because I couldn't do anything myself. The walk to the car felt like the longest distance in my life. I had to stop several times and lean on her. She patted my head and reassured me it wasn't much farther. Once we finally made it to the car, I collapsed in the passenger seat and moaned. Mom laid my seat back and I curled back up into the fetal position and prayed I didn't die before we got there. I wasn't positive this was the best idea. All my symptoms were in full-on attack now that I had moved. Mom cranked the car and the AC was cold. It cooled my forehead and made me shiver at the same time. "They can give you a shot, hopefully, that will help fast," Mom said, trying to make me feel better about this. "Staying home isn't going to get you better. You gotta be checked out, honey." I couldn't even nod my head to let her know I understood. All my energy was gone from the walk out here. "Last night must have gone good, since you had a date again today with Nash. When you're better, I look forward to hearing all about it. I'm sure you had a tough night not getting to play. I'm glad you went." I fell asleep while Mom chatted on about Nash, football, and dates. I think at one point she was talking about brownies, but I wasn't sure. I couldn't stay awake, and her talking was exhausting. Just before I was completely gone, I heard her say something about a unicorn wall. I had no idea what she was talking about. I had missed part of the conversation. When the car stopped, I opened my eyes and knew there was no way I was going to be able to stand up. I closed my eyes again and hoped she would just leave me in here.
Chapter 24. Was this part of his vlog shit? Nash. There were places I could be, things I could do, but I wasn't in the mood for my friends. Instead, I sat on a wooden picnic table in the park away from the screaming kids and their mothers and stared out at the town while I drank the soda I'd gotten from the stop-and-go across the street. I'd woken up looking forward to spending the day with Tallulah, but she was sick. Her mother actually looked worried and stressed out as she told me about it, so I believed her. Tallulah hadn't been trying to get out of our date, which was good. Sucked that she was sick, though. "What's the story with your leg?" a male voice asked me, and I shifted my eyes from the center of town caution light to the guy who had quietly walked up on me, or I'd just been so lost in my thoughts I hadn't noticed. The blonde hair was the only reason I recognized him from last night. He'd been the crazy-ass pot smoker I'd passed on my way to the field house. "Excuse me?" I was annoyed. This guy was rude. He looked unconcerned by my glare and pointed to my leg. "The leg, you're limp. You stood on the sidelines all night. What's the story?" Was he for fucking real? "Who the hell are you?" I asked him instead. He smirked and shook his head. "I've only spoken to two people in this town, and neither of you know who I am. I thought I was going to hate it here. I still may. But this being anonymous thing is nice. I'd forgotten what it was like." This was one cocky bastard. "Why would we know who you are? You're not from around here, that's for damn sure." He gave me one single nod. "I'm one of the lucky ones. Not born in Mayberry hell." He was a douche. I looked back at the traffic light and took a drink of my soda. Maybe if I ignored him, he'd go away.
"Not going to tell me about that leg? Fine. I'll ask your girl."
That got my attention. "What?" He seemed pleased with my reaction.
"The hot loner blonde who watched you all night. We spoke. I don't think she cares for me either."
You Southern folks are supposed to be all nice and friendly. I'm not finding that so here. The West Coast has gotten a bad rap. We're fucking friendly compared to this bunch.
He'd talked to Tallulah. She hadn't said anything.
What do you want?
I asked him, not in the mood to defend Southern hospitality. He leaned against the tree beside him.
You've got a story. Possibly the only interesting thing other than your girl that I have seen in this town. I like stories. It's my thing. Human interest, entertainment, that kind of shit.
The word entertainment was what brought last night's overheard conversation back to me. I'd forgotten, since it hadn't been important. I hadn't cared. But it was all clicking into place now. Pam hadn't been wrong after all.
You're the YouTube vlogger guy.
As I said it, a slow smile spread across his face.
Surprising. I wouldn't have guessed you watched vlogs.
I don't, but girls in this town do. You were spotted last night. He sighed and nodded.
Probably shouldn't have gone to the game, but then Monday they'll see me. Can't hide at motherfucking school.
School? He was going to go to our school here in Lawton? Let me get this straight, I said, finally interested in something this guy had to say.
You're some famous YouTube guy from L.A., and you're in Lawton, Alabama, to go to school?
None of that made sense. These guys got sponsors and shit. They were supposed to be loaded. Why would he be moving from L.A. to Alabama? Was this part of his vlog shit?
When your mother catches your father fucking your little brother's college-age nanny in the pool, then shit happens. It was stay with the dick that is my father in L.A., or go with my mother to the town she grew up in so she could be near her parents to deal with life. I couldn't let little Joe leave town without me. Mom is a big girl, and she can handle it. Lil Joe is only 5. He needs me. So here the fuck I am, he finished with his hands held out. Now what's your story? You got mine.
He was here because of his family. Did he even realize how hard it was going to be on him once the rest of Lawton found out? He wasn't going to have a normal life here. They wouldn't let him. This was not L.A. Celebrities weren't walking the streets daily.
They'll never leave you alone. You won't be able to go anywhere without drawing attention, I told him.
He shrugged.
Maybe. We'll make for some good vlog action in the beginning, I guess. I figure it'll wear off.
Seeing as I had never watched a vlog, I wasn't sure what he videoed exactly.
How's that work, your vlog shit? What is it you video?
He shifted and pulled something out of his pocket, then tossed it in the air and caught it as if it were a ball.
This is one of the many cameras I use.
It was small, like a little box almost. He then reached into his back pocket and pulled out something else that, when he unfolded it, was a stick.
This is a stabilizer, he explained.
Then he attached the camera to the stick and held it out.
No school yet. Still trying to figure this place out.
There is seriously nothing here.
I take back what I said about hell. There's got to be more action there. Not fair to compare the two.
He was talking to the camera, then it was directed at me.
This guy won't tell me shit. It's the one from last night on the sidelines. He's got a story, just haven't figured it out yet.
I glared up at the small, offending camera. Get that thing off me, I grumbled.
He's got a stellar personality, too.
He doesn't want the damn camera in his face, I said instead.
Just tell us why you limp. I told you about my dad banging the nanny. The least you could do is tell me why you limp.
Was that camera on?
Are you recording this? You just said the shit about your dad, I pointed out.
I knew he had millions of viewers.
He chuckled. Hell yeah, I'm recording it. They know. I already explained why I was leaving L.A. Watch my damn vlog. This shit gets edited. What we're doing now would be boring as hell without some edits. But every time I can tell the world about my douchebag dad, I will.
I shook my head.
You're seriously fucked up. You've not seen anything,
he told me. Come with me. I'll show you fucked up. If I sat and thought about it too long, I'd say no. I didn't really like this guy, but I didn't think about it. Instead, I stood up.
Okay, show me.
Chapter 25. I'm still not convinced it was legal. Tallulah. The flu lasted 3 more days. I was weak and out of it. Nash texted a few times checking on me, and I replied, but it hadn't been anything too detailed. Today, however, I was better. I took a shower and ate some toast and fruit. I felt like living again. I dreaded the schoolwork I had missed. I would spend the rest of the week trying to catch up. I had almost texted Nash to tell him I was coming back to school this morning, but then wasn't sure if I should. Would he care? Our connection seemed so distant now. Not having seen or talked to him since Friday night, I felt weird, unsure. Walking into school, I saw a buzz in the hallway, and girls were more silly than normal. When I caught a glimpse of the guy from the football game Friday night, it came back to me. I'd forgotten. He must have been the YouTube guy after all. Why was he here, in Lawton, of all places? You're back, Nash said, coming up beside me. I was suddenly nervous. Yeah, I started feeling more like me last night.
Good.
He grinned. He seemed happy. The moody guy from last week at school was gone. This was the Nash I remembered.
I missed you.
I was missed. I couldn't remember one time that I had missed school over the years when someone had told me they missed me. Really? I asked, then felt my cheeks heat at the pathetic way that simple question sounded.
Tallulah, glad you're back. Wasn't the same in class without you.
Mr. Dace was smiling as he stopped in front of us. His gaze was on me, though. He wasn't focused on Nash at all. Thanks, I had the flu, I explained quickly. His eyes looked concerned.
That sucks. You take your time with the makeup work. Don't overwork yourself.
I nodded, thinking there was no way I was going to take my time. He finally cut his eyes toward Nash, then nodded once.
Nash?
Before he walked on down the hallway.
I really hate that guy, Nash muttered.
Mr. Dace? I asked, surprised. I didn't think anyone could hate Mr. Dace. I knew he hadn't wanted to be at that field party anyway the night Mr. Dace had broken it up. There was no reason for him to hate Mr. Dace. He lifted both his eyebrows as if that was an understood thing. I was going to ask him why when someone else joined us.
Looks like the girlfriend is back from the dead,
the guy from the football game said as he came up beside Nash and put his arm around his shoulders as if they were friends. Nash didn't shrug him off or look surprised.
Tallulah, this is Hagen. Hagen, this is Tallulah. I know the two of you have spoken before, but here's your official introduction.
I frowned and looked from Hagen to Nash. You know him? I asked, confused.
Missed a lot those days you were down sick,
Hagen said. Nash looked apologetic.
Turns out Hagen was the YouTuber that Pam saw that night. She hadn't been wrong.
Hagen Baylor the vlogger? Really? Walk me to class, Hagen, Blakely said, not even caring that Hagen was standing with Nash. Hagen rolled his eyes and appeared to ignore her. He promised to walk me, didn't you, Hagen? Another cheerleader said, pushing closer. No, he didn't. He hasn't said he'd walk anyone, Pam announced with authority like she was his stage manager. Other girls began to crowd around us, and I started to feel claustrophobic. I needed out of this herd of crazy. My eyes met Nash's, and he shrugged like this was normal. Had he been dealing with this all week?
I'll walk all of you if you're going in that direction.
Hagen pointed the opposite way from my classroom. Relief was instant. When he started walking, the girls followed him like the insane, clingy creeps they were. Nash and I were soon left alone again. He glanced toward the departing crowd, then back at me.
He's not that bad. He deals with fame well.
I hadn't said anything negative. I didn't know Hagen. It was the crowd he drew I hadn't been thrilled about. "How did you meet him?" I asked, realizing I had missed a lot this week.
"Saturday when you got sick, I ended up at the park alone, sitting off in the woods on a picnic table, staring at nothing. He showed up, pushy as hell, wouldn't go away, but, you know..."
He paused, then gave me a slow smile.
"He's not bad. He's not football. He has a life that has nothing to do with all that. It's a good change for me."
That made sense. Hagen was a friend who wouldn't remind Nash of all he'd lost. "I'm glad you met him then." Nash gave me a small smirk.
"I was on his latest vlog. It posts tonight. I didn't want to do it, but he insisted. Wasn't so bad, was kind of fun. I'm still not convinced it was legal."
At the word legal, I grew concerned, but Nash was smiling like it was the best thing ever, so I didn't say anything. Maybe he had been kidding. "I'll have to watch it," I said, hoping it wasn't going to get Nash in any trouble.
"Come to Hagen's with me tonight. He's posting it, and he wants me to come over and see what all he does when a vlog goes live. I wasn't sure you'd be back, so I said yes. I'd rather spend time with you. If you don't want to go, we can do something else."
I didn't want to go to Hagen's. I still wasn't sold on this guy. He'd been so odd at the game. He'd tried to make me uncomfortable. I didn't like that. But Nash liked him, and I liked Nash. I had to give Hagen another chance. "Okay, if Hagen doesn't mind," I replied, suddenly thinking Hagen might mind. He didn't seem like he'd want me around.
"He won't mind. I swear, he's the most laid-back person I've ever met."
The warning bell rang. Nash leaned over and pressed a quick kiss to my lips.
"Glad you're back,"
he whispered, surprising me. My cheeks heated and my heart fluttered. "Me too," I said with a shaky voice. Nash saw my reaction and his grin was a pleased one.
"See you after class,"
he said, then turned and headed toward his next class. I watched him go only a second before hurrying across the hall and three doors down to my first period. It wasn't until I was almost to my class that I realized Nash's limp had been better. He'd walked straighter, taller. He was confident again. I didn't know if it was me or Hagen who had inspired that. It didn't matter. He was changing. Back to the Nash I knew, the guy who smiled easily, the guy who walked like he had the world in his hands.
Chapter 26. I was still Nash fucking Lee. Nash. The high-pitched scream caught my attention along with all the rest of the student body, and everyone began pouring into the hallway from their first period class. The bell had just rung and we'd all been moving slow as was typical for morning classes. Most of us needed caffeine, but you could bet a fight would wake us all up. When I made it through the crowd, shoving to get a good view of what was more than likely two girls going at it from the scream we'd all heard, I saw Hagen with his hands up in the air trying to stop whatever was going on. I pushed through and got close enough to see Pam, which was no surprise if this was about Hagen, and Julie Winters, tied up. Pam had a handful of Julie's red curly hair, and Julie was slapping the shit out of Pam's face. It was already looking bright red. The crowd was cheering and laughing. Hagen looked confused as hell and tried to no avail to calm them down. "Excuse me," I said to the guy in front of me. He stepped out of my way, and I almost got to Hagen before he made the mistake of stepping into that mix. Pam's elbow clocked him in the jaw, and she realized it with a horrified look. The distraction, however, cost her a fist to the nose that wasn't that forceful, since Julie was 5 feet tall and about 100 pounds on a good day. I was shocked she was in a fight. I couldn't remember ever seeing her fight before. Her temper was fierce for a tiny girl, but never like this. Pam covered her nose as if that had actually hurt.
"Oh my God!"
she cried out. The damage she did to Hagen's jaw was no doubt worse than anything done to her nose. Julie shoved her in the chest.
"Come on, bitch!
You want to talk smack now?
Pam's eyes went wide before clouding over into crazy as hell. Someone needed to get Julie out of her reach. Pam was taller and stronger.
Jesus, what's wrong with the two of you?
Hagen said, grabbing Julie's arm this time and pulling her back. Bad idea. Julie's brother wasn't tiny. Joseph Winters broke through the crowd at that time and knocked Pam into Hagen and then grabbed his sister to tuck her protectively against his side.
I don't care if you're a girl, Pam. Touch her again and I am beating your ass, Joseph warned her loudly.
No one needs to hit the girls. They're mutually at fault here, Hagen said, stepping in front of Pam.
I was impressed with that move. Had to give him credit. But Joseph was about to take this out on him, and I had to move fast. I shoved between the girls in front of me and stood beside Hagen to stare down Joseph. Didn't have any issue with the guy, but he needed to back off and take his sister with him. Hagen hadn't done anything.
You challenging me, Crip?
Joseph asked, taking a step toward me. That was the first time someone had actually called me a cripple. It didn't go over well. My hands clenched, and adrenaline surged through my body.
What the fuck did you just say?
Riker's voice carried loud, and people parted to let him through. Joseph turned to see Riker and Asa step up beside me.
I asked if he was challenging me, Joseph said, his voice not so loud now. I'm just getting my sister out of this crazy shit. I didn't come to fight.
Riker stepped in front of me, like I needed protecting, like I was exactly what Joseph had just called me. Fuck that. I stepped around my cousin.
I don't need you to protect me, I snarled.
Pissed he thought that I did.
Would you like me to show you exactly what this Crip can do to you? Without their help, I said loud and clear for the onlookers to hear.
I could see in Joseph's eyes he wanted to take me up on it, but he wouldn't, because he was afraid of the guys standing behind me. That stung. I needed to prove myself. I wanted them all to see that I was still me. I was still Nash fucking Lee. Football didn't make me who I was. I could still whoop his ass.
I'm not fighting you, he said simply.
That was a trigger. I snapped. Just as I lunged at him, another female war cry went out and arms wrapped around me, pulling me back.
Calm down or you're going to get suspended, Riker said as he held me back. Let Pam get in trouble instead.
I jerked free of his hold just as Pam slid back across the floor and Mandy B., I didn't know her last name, jumped on top of her and they began pulling hair.
What the fuck had happened now?
Hagen sighed in frustration and went to grab Mandy off Pam to stop this fight. But Mandy B's boyfriend grabbed Hagen's arm and fists were thrown. I needed a fight. Riker wasn't stopping this. I had something to prove. I swung and my fist met Tim's right jaw. We'd played football together. We'd laughed together in the locker room. But none of that mattered. Not anymore.
Stop it!
Coach D was suddenly in the middle of all this, and he was grabbing Hagen's arms and pulling him back. I hated the man. Seeing him there with his hands on my friend infuriated me. Where had he been when this shit started? Now he wanted to jump in and grab the wrong fucking person?
Back the fuck off!
I all but roared as I started toward Coach D.
He's not the one you need to be grabbing!
Nash, Riker's tone was warning. Excuse me? I don't believe I need confirmation from a violent teenage boy,
Coach D replied, his cheeks red. He was angry.
Good.
Let him snap. His ass would get fired.
You don't even know what's going on. Let him go!
I reached out to take Coach D's hands off Hagen myself. Coach D released him.
Both of you to the principal's office.
Was he serious? There had been two girl brawls, and he was sending us to the office? What about Tim?
Just us?
Out of all the fighting you're sending us? I asked incredulously. He had to be joking.
I didn't see the others. I just saw you and him. Now go.
The challenge in his eyes as he used the fucking authority he had was clear. He wanted me to fight this. He wanted me in trouble. He was a bigger dick than I realized.
Nash, stop this. Just go.
Tallulah's voice got my attention. Where did she come from? When my eyes locked with hers, she looked upset. With me? Fuck, I'd done nothing wrong.
He knows I didn't start this. He's doing it because he doesn't like me. Notice none of the football players are going. Tim started this shit and he's fucking free to go on to class.
Tallulah didn't seem to believe me. Her eyes said as much. She'd not seen this. She was just showing up.
I'm not telling you again. Go to the office,
Coach D said firmly.
Come on, let's go,
Hagen said, not looking too concerned about this.
We didn't fucking do anything wrong, I argued.
And he doesn't care, Hagen said, pointing out the obvious. I glanced back at Tallulah. She was frowning, disappointed. Fuck that. Whatever. I started down the hallway, and Hagen fell into step beside me.
I got some of this shit on video. It's gonna make for a great vlog, he said, once we are away from everyone else.
I turned to look at him and saw he was grinning.
How the hell did you video that?
He held out his wrist. It looked like some kind of watch.
This.
Well, damn.
Chapter 27. Was that allowed? Tallulah. I set my books down on a desk. My stomach was in knots. Nash had been different. Not as much like the old Nash either, just different. He'd seemed angry at me, but I'd been trying to get him to stop before he got suspended. Hagen Baylor was not a good friend. I didn't know him really, but Nash had changed quickly in the short time he'd been around Hagen. Or at least it looked like it from what I had witnessed just now.
Teenage boys have a lot of growing up to do. Don't look so down, it's typical. They're hot-headed, selfish, and it'll be years before they're smart enough to listen to a woman.
Mr. Dace's voice startled me. The room had been empty when I entered. Everyone was still out in the hallway, talking about the fight, no doubt. I shrugged, not wanting to look at Mr. Dace. I was close to tears, and that seemed silly. I was embarrassed.
Tallulah, don't let it upset you. He'll regret it once he figures out he was an ass.
Had he been an ass? Or was I overreacting? I lifted my head and met Mr. Dace's concerned gaze. He's a nice guy. He's fun. He's kind. He was kind to me when no one else was. It's just not him. He isn't like that. Mr. Dace frowned and walked around his desk until he was standing only a few inches from me.
Are you sure? Do you know him that well? Because every interaction I've had with him, he's been all those things. He's young, quick-tempered, immature.
He paused and glanced toward the door. We were still alone.
You aren't. You're more mature than any 17-year-old girl I've met and many 20-something females I've known. You have your head on straight. You have a goal. You're beautiful, smart, and the world is at your fingertips. Don't waste it on a guy who doesn't see all that.
The kindness and sincerity in his eyes kept me from defending Nash some more. Instead, I said something else. You think I'm beautiful now. You didn't see me before. I was tired of my looks being pointed out. That shouldn't be the way I was measured.
No, I didn't. But I wasn't talking about your outward beauty, although there is that. I was talking about what is inside.
Oh. Well. Oh.
Good fight, Coach D.
A voice said jokingly, and the moment was gone. Mr. Dace stepped back and turned his attention to the students now entering the room.
Fighting is never good,
he replied, taking his spot behind the desk.
Maybe not to you, but the rest of us were entertained,
another guy said as he dropped his books on his desk.
I thought Nash was going to go all badass like the good old Nash we all know and miss. I think he may be coming back to us.
That comment came from one of the guys on the football team. I think his name was Eric. I looked at him, but I felt the heat from Mr. Dace's stare and shifted my gaze to meet his. He didn't have to say anything. I could see the "I told you so" in his eyes. Was he right? Did I not know Nash at all? Had what I'd seen today been the Nash he once was? I sat down in my chair and opened the notebook I need for class. I didn't listen to any more of the conversation, nor did I look at Mr. Dace. He'd been trying to help me. I understood that, but I didn't want to be warned against Nash. I knew a guy they didn't. I refused to believe the guy I had seen over the years wasn't what I thought he was. Mr. Dace saw me for who I was, past my clothing size, but he was an adult. It was different. He was mature enough to see past what my body looked like. Although, I doubted I'd ever see him dating a fat girl. I should have pointed that out, but I didn't. Class began, and I took notes. Mr. Dace's eyes lingered on me too long at times, as if he was trying to get a message across to me. I stopped looking up at him. I wasn't giving up on Nash, not when I had loved him most of my life, and now I had a chance to be with him. That was if he wasn't angry with me. He'd left upset with me. I worried about it all of class, and I would have texted him if Mr. Dace hadn't been watching me so closely. The bell seemed to take forever, but when it did ring, I jumped up and hurried for the door. I was almost out of it when Mr. Dace called my name. I paused, wanting to keep going, but he was my teacher, and I knew I couldn't ignore him. I went back to his desk, and he watched the room until it cleared before looking at me.
I didn't mean to upset you. I just don't want to see you hurt. You deserve better.
I could argue that Nash was special, that I was lucky to have his attention or interest or whatever it was I had, but I didn't. I wasn't sure I even had that anymore. Okay, I said instead.
If you ever need to talk,
he said, and held out a small piece of paper to me. I reached for it, unsure what it was until it was in my hand. It was a phone number. His phone number. Was that allowed? A teacher giving a student their number to talk? Thanks, I said nervously.
Call me. I'm always available for you.
Again, that felt strange. Funny, like it wasn't exactly meant the way it should be. No, I was overthinking this. Mr. Dace was just being nice. He was concerned, and that was what a good teacher was. Besides, he was gorgeous and had an equally gorgeous girlfriend somewhere, I was sure. I was reading way too much into this. Okay, I will, I said, then headed for the door. I needed to find Nash. Stepping into the crowded hallway, I searched for any sign of him, but he wasn't out there. Neither was Hagen. If I walked to his next period, I'd be late for mine. I debated going to look for him, but decided if he wasn't at lunch, I'd go find him then.
Suspended, both of them, 3 days, I heard someone say in the crowd.
Fuck,
Riker Lee muttered and shook his head. I didn't have to go ask who they meant. I knew. Mr. Dace had sent them to the office, and they had been suspended. He'd blame Mr. Dace, although I would argue he'd just been doing his job. I pulled my phone from my pocket and texted Nash on my way to class. By the time I reached the door, he still hadn't responded. I felt sick. My eyes burned with unshed tears. Quietly, I made my way to the back of the room and found a seat. Hopefully, I'd be left alone, ignored like I used to be. I was too close to crying, and I needed to get this day over with. Maybe Nash would text me back soon. Maybe.
Chapter 28. Like the mature guy I was. Nash. Technically, being suspended meant I wasn't supposed to be on school property for 3 days. I decided I didn't give a shit. I'd left Hagen's house in time to be there when Tallulah walked out of the building. She had texted to check on me, and I had not responded. simply because I wanted to talk to her face to face, apologize. I'd let my temper get the best of me, and she was just being sweet to Lula, worried about me. When she walked out, I watched her head toward me with her head down. She held her books close to her chest in a defensive way. I could tell she was upset, and I felt guilty now for ignoring her text. I fought the urge to go to her. I needed her to walk to me. I was trying not to be seen. It would just make my suspension worse. She finally lifted her head to check the parking lot before crossing the lane to where her car was parked. After looking both ways, she paused, and her eyes came back to me. They widened in surprise. Then she walked quickly in my direction. I made sure to smile. She needed reassurance. I shouldn't have acted the way I did today with her. Coach D just pissed me off. I hated that man. The moment I smiled, she walked faster. Relief had taken the place of worry on her pretty face. Damn, I felt guilty about that. I had tried to not think about the fight and telling my parents I was suspended today. Instead, I had focused on observing as Hagen edited his video footage from the past couple of days and made a vlog out of it. I was impressed with how much time he put into it. I also had a main role in this new video. Wasn't sure how that would go, but I went with it. Now, seeing Tallulah, I knew I'd been selfish just thinking about myself. She deserved a response today, if for no other reason, so that she wouldn't worry like she obviously had. "Hey," she said with a soft, nervous voice. I'd done that to her. I was a dick. I stepped closer and put my hand on her waist, moving her against me slowly before covering her lips with mine. I didn't keep it quick. I tasted her. I didn't care who saw or if anyone was watching. I wanted them to see. This was me making a fucking statement to Tallulah and everyone else. Her hands rested on my arms and I flexed them under her touch. She squeezed, and that only made me flex some more. I was attracted to Tallulah. She made me happy. She reminded me of what was good in this life. She made me want more, dream of more. With her, football wasn't that important. The mint on her breath was intoxicating. I didn't want to stop. I could hold her like this, love her like this, for hours, and never get bored. But I would want more. I wanted more now. Tallulah had to be the one to end the kiss. I wanted to continue, but if I was caught here, I'd get in trouble. "We need to get you off the property before a teacher sees you," she said in a whisper, still close enough that her breath was warm on my skin. "Leave your car here. Go with me," I said, needing to keep her close. "Are we going to Hagen's?" she asked. I forgot I'd mentioned that before everything else that happened. "No, I want you to myself." Her immediate grin made me want to kiss her again, but she was right. We had to get out of here. If Coach D saw me, he'd be sure I paid for this with more suspension. The man wanted me gone. I wasn't positive, but I had the feeling he liked Tallulah more than a teacher should. The looks he gave her were starting to annoy me. Telling her that, though, would cause a fight. She'd never believe me. I opened the passenger door and helped her inside. Giving in to my need, I pressed a quick kiss on the corner of her mouth before closing the door and hurrying to get in on my side. We had just pulled out of my parking spot and were headed to the exit when my eyes met Coach D's. He was watching us. Nothing he could do now. He had no proof. Like the mature guy I was, I saluted him, then pulled out onto the main road. "Who is that?" Tallulah asked. "Riker," I lied. "Oh, I thought he'd be at practice." "He's headed there now. Guess he saw my truck and wanted to check it out." I shouldn't have lied, but she wouldn't understand the truth. She liked Coach D, but she was naive and sweet. She liked everyone. The life she'd lived before her weight loss had kept her in a bubble of sorts. The world around us was fucking ugly. She only saw the happy, the good, which was unique, considering how she'd been treated before now. "Where are we going?" she asked.
"My house."
"Oh, do your parents know about today?"